photographer for a national magazine was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. Smoke at the scene hampered him, and he asked his home office to hire an aeroplane. Arrangements were made, and he was told to go at once to a nearby airport where a plane would be waiting. And when he got there, the plane was warming up near the runway. So he jumped in with his equipment and yelled, "Let's go, let's go." The pilot swung the plane into the wind and they soon were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," yelled the photographer, "and make three or four low-level passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm going to take pictures," cried the photographer. "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." And after a pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" Friends, have you done anything in your faith walk with Jesus Christ recently that stretched you, that took you out of your comfort zone? The term stretch refers to growth and development and learning. I must admit, it goes against human nature to be stretched. But stretching comes in many forms. We are stretched when we take our step off to publicly confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to live for Him. We are stretched when we follow Jesus in believers' baptism. We are stretched when we determine to have a quiet time daily with the Lord as we study His Word and read His Word and pray. We are stretched when we decide to give a tenth and a tithe of our income. We are stretched when we share our faith with other people. We are stretched when we decide to get involved in a ministry. Today I want to share a passage of scripture in which one of Jesus' disciples was stretched. But first, there's an old seafaring tradition that if a ship sinks, the captain must go down with the ship. Now, I must be the first to admit, friends, that I don't know much about sailing, but that sounds like the most ridiculous tradition I've ever heard. I think jumping into a lifeboat and living to sail another day is a much better tradition. But many Christians, friends, today are in danger of going down with the ship. Many Christians are in danger of having their spiritual lives sunk by the onslaught of life's storms. They say things like, and I've heard them and perhaps I've said them also, "There's no use because I'm just no good. That's just the way I am. I'm wired that way. And there's nothing I can do about it." That's the type of attitude that says, "Since the ship is going down, I might as well go down with it." The storms of discouragement, and we've all had these storms, the storms of despair and disbelief threaten to sink all of us. Friends, there is nothing noble about a senseless spiritual death. There are some who will tell you that if you encounter troubles, if you encounter difficulties, if you encounter storms, you must be out of God's will. You must have messed up somewhere. But there's nothing further than the truth, friends. This is nothing further than the truth. There's nothing further than the truth. Friends, I want you to know that if you obey Jesus, you will encounter storms. We all do. No one is exempt. If you know someone who has never had a storm in their lives, bring them, I want to shake their hands. Then refuse to wash my hand. We've all been through trying times, difficult times, difficulties, storms in life. And some of us, as we sit here in this cool place, except here where you feel like you know, the old interrogation is just like heat. And I'm like, okay, sorry. Anyway. As we sit here, we look like we've got it all together. But if some of you stand up and say what you're going through now, it will bring us all to tears. We all encounter storms, friends. Let's read our text for today in Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Did you hear that part? When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That particular day, friends, was a grueling day for Jesus and his disciples. John the Baptist had been beheaded. And as the news reached Jesus, he had hoped to immerse himself in private prayer, but the multitudes wanted his attention. And Jesus began ministering to the crowds, teaching and healing the sick, and he even miraculously fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples had been ministering all day. They were tired and frustrated and they were exhausted. Now, Jesus has sent the disciples ahead of him in a boat. The short trip in the boat ended up taking over 9 hours with the wind blowing and the storm raging. Finally, at the fourth hour, that is between the hours of 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning, Jesus came walking on the water to join them. I want to encourage you today, friends, to stretch your faith to new horizons, or as I like to think, to attempt the impossible for God. The dictionary defines the word impossible as extremely difficult to deal or perform, but it can be done. There's a slogan during the Second World War that went, if it's difficult, it will take a day or two. If it's impossible, it will take a little longer. We can all attempt the impossible, friends, especially if it is for our God. Jesus said in Luke 18:27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Peter is an example of one who was unwilling, friends, to simply go down with the ship, as it were. Getting out of the boat was a stretch of Peter's faith. We must give him credit. He did get out. You know, I was reading something, and I think I mentioned it in the past. The disciple is called the disciple's version of the story. I'll read it for you. It was the next night. They had gathered together as usual. Peter, of course, was running late. A crowd of friends had joined the group for dinner. Then Matthew brought up the story. Last night, Peter made a fool of himself again. The voice rang out, what did Peter do this time? The crowd started laughing. Philip spoke up. Well, we were all out in the boat when a fierce storm arose. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we saw what appeared to be a ghost. Then a voice spoke, and we realized it was Jesus. He was actually walking on water. It was amazing. James interrupted and said, then Peter opened his big mouth and asked if he could join the master. He's always trying to be the Lord's favorite, John added. Yeah. But remember what happened next. Peter got out of the boat and almost immediately started to sink. Of course, Jesus rescued him by reaching out, grabbing his arm and pulling him up. But then he rebuked Peter for his lack of faith. The disciples and the group of friends roared with laughter. Peter messed up again, one said. Another replied, he's always finding a way to fail Jesus. Then Andrew concluded, my brother was lucky that Jesus was able to rescue him in the middle of this terrible storm last night. Hopefully he learned his lesson. Maybe next time he'll stay in the boat with the rest of us. Now the story continues, but it's Peter's version of the story. Peter's version of the story. Peter says, I was on my way to dinner with the other disciples when I ran into an old fishing buddy. I was so excited about what happened that I had to tell somebody. I started telling him the story. You'll never believe what happened last night. I was in a boat with the rest of the guys at about 3 o'clock. The winds and the waves started to rock the boat back and forth. We were caught in the middle of a terrible storm. And then out of nowhere, we saw what appeared to be a ghost. The figure was walking on water. Then we heard his voice. It was the voice of Jesus. He told us not to be afraid. So I said, Master, if it is you, then tell me to come to you on the water. And he told me to get out the boat and come. So that's exactly what I did. Before I knew what was happening, I was actually walking on water. It was amazing. Then all of a sudden, I realized that I was in the middle of a huge storm. I started watching the waves instead of Jesus. Then it happened. I started sinking under the water. Immediately, I cried out to the Lord and begged him to rescue me. He reached out his hand and pulled me back up. He asked me why I ever doubted him and encouraged me to have more faith next time. The other disciples just watched from the boat. I can't believe why they didn't join me. Sure, I started to sink because of doubt, but at least I can say I walked on water. Maybe they'll learn from my experience and get out of the boat next time. See how different the stories were, friend? The challenge to you is this, friends. Get out of the boat. Dare to attempt the impossible. All of you have a choice. You can stay in the boat and criticize those who step out, or you can get out the boat and say that you walked on water. You know what you need to do that is impossible. You know what the Lord has been calling you to do, how to trust him in a certain area, but you are afraid to jump out of the boat, as it were. Our text today, friends, gives four rules for attempting the impossible, and we should try them. Number one, Ellen said, drink water. Number one, don't get counsel from your detractors. Don't get counsel from naysayers. Don't get counsel from fault finders. Don't get counsel from belittlers. Don't get counsel from pessimists. You know what's a pessimist? They always see the worst aspect of things. They believe the worst will happen. There's some guys you don't even want to share something because they've got a list of negative things. You know what the Bible says in verse 25 to 27? Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Friends, in life, listen, there are many people around you who can make or break you. Do you agree with that? There are people who can build you up, and there are people who will pull you down. If you're going to try the impossible for God, if you want to get your faith stretched, friends, there will be many who will tell you why you should not do it. I'm sure that Peter had his fair share of wrong counsel. I can see Peter as he's busy trying to climb out to the boat, probably heard, no, Peter, the water's too cold. No, Peter, no one has ever done that. Peter, don't be a show-off. It's more sensible to stay in the boat. Peter, who's going to pay your hospital bill if you hurt yourself? Or who's going to pay for your funeral if you drown? Can you hear that going on? Besides, Peter, there's ghosts out there. Friends, don't get counsel from a pessimist. Get spiritual advice from spiritual people. I call them VIPs, very inspiring people. I have a friend, he's not serving our Lord yet, but when I'm with him, he inspires me. Always get counsel from very inspiring people, not VDP, very training. You leave their presence, man, you feel flat like a pancake. Yeah. Hey, have you been around those people? Yes. Why did I ask, how are they doing? You want to punish yourself? You make a mental note, don't say that again. VIPs are optimists. It can be done. That's my friend. I'll say, hey, Keith, that can be done. I like that. VDPs, very training people, are pessimists. It can't be done. You know, Sir Winston Churchill said, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. You know, Einstein, he could not speak until he was 4 years old. And he did not read until he was 7. Einstein. You know, Beethoven, his music teacher said, as a composer, he's hopeless. Do you know Thomas Edison? When he was a young boy, his teacher said he was so stupid, he could never learn anything. Do you know Walt Disney was once fired as a newspaper editor because they thought he had no good ideas? Do you know Enrico Caruso was told by one music teacher, you can't sing. You have no voice at all. We know those type of people who say those negative things. These are a few examples of individuals who achieve recognition and success in their life despite the negative criticism of others. They just refuse to say, I can't. Saul is a classic example of a pessimist. Saul said to David, okay, there's a slide. 1 Samuel 17:33. You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he is a warrior from his youth. Everybody was saying, hey, David, he's too big. You can't kill him. And David was saying, he's too big, I can't miss. You see that, friends? I can't miss this thing. You know, in Numbers chapter 13, God told Moses to send spies into the land of Canaan. They returned to say, the land flowed with milk and honey, man. The fruit is huge and luscious, man. But the pessimist among them said, we are not able to possess this land. The inhabitants are stronger than we. They are giants there. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. Caleb stood up. Let's see. Numbers 13:13. We should go up and take possession of the land. For we can certainly do it. Do you see the difference, friends? There's a song Helen and I used to sing a lot. We are able to go up and take the country and possess the land from Jordan to the sea. And though the giants may be there, our way to hinder, our God has given us the victory.
Amen.
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 Listen, when you serve God, you're not exempt from troubles. You're not exempt from sickness and struggles and difficulties and storms. You're not exempt. But listen, God has given you the victory, friends. Stop dragging your feet, saying, oh, poor me, I'm nothing. Don't go and gather around people who are saying, yeah, you nothing, man. Don't take counsel from detractors or fault finders or pessimists. You can do it. God wants his children to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. God wants his people to refuse to say, I can't. You know, I think I told you this once. One of the greatest outreaches of the First Baptist Church of Smoky Lake happened a few years ago when the ladies, the Women's Ministry Fellowship, planned a spring celebration. I can still give you the names of those people who said, nobody will come. Nobody will turn up. We're wasting our time. And yet there were. That place was crowded. And those people who have never set foot in this building kept asking, when are we going to do it again? Do you see that, friends? Do you know Dwight had a vision, a passion to go to do a mission trip to Mexico? And oh, we were so excited. But we heard from the naysayers. What do you want to go from to Mexico for? The people only know there about siesta? Siesta? Is that a word? Why you want to go there and worry about them? They just want to rest. You'll never get enough money. And after we prayed and trusted God and we put our shoulders to the plow, 46,000 I think came in for the mission trip. 21 of us went. There's always people who's going to say, we're only a small church. It can't be done. You're right, but we serve a huge God. An almighty God. Do you see that? Let's stop saying it can't be done. You know how many times people have said, we need to sell that building there. We need to sell at least a parking lot so we can have money. We can park in the street. God said, man, Keith, don't listen to a pessimist. You see that building there? That's nothing, man. I think I was telling my friends, hey, this building can seat 400. And when we're done with this and this and that, and the guy said, but you know, Keith, that's actually a small church. So don't think now God is stranded now. What did we put ourselves into? What did we put God into? We will never do it. Hey, that's not right, friends. Don't get counsel from naysayers if you want to step out in faith and attempt the impossible for God. Some people, for example, God has said, you must be a Sunday school teacher. My children need your talent, your wisdom to teach them my word. But you're feeling afraid. It's time to get out the boat, man. Hey? It's time to do the impossible. Okay, let me go on. Rule number two. Don't attempt the impossible in your own strength. Matthew 14:28-29. And Peter answered at him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. Peter didn't just get out and say, hey man, you know I'm a rough diamond kind of guy, I'm a fisherman, the waves are nothing. No. He said, Lord, tell me to come. Don't attempt the impossible in your own strength, friends. We need God. Jesus said, apart from me, or another version says, for without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Peter asked, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He didn't start walking on the water until Jesus commanded him to come. God's word encourages us, friends, to attempt great things for him. I love this verse. We are to call on, Jesus said, God said, call on me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call on me. Peter called on the Lord. God said, come. I'll show you great and mighty things you do not know. Doesn't that just ooze of God's strength and power? Why would anyone attempt the impossible for God in his or her own strength? David didn't measure himself, didn't measure the chance of defeating 9-foot-9 Goliath against himself. No. If he had, he would have run back to his sheep. No. He, like Peter, probably thought, I can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. Positive folks say, I can in Christ's strength. Negative folks say, we can't. And you know what? Both groups are right. Notice this. Peter didn't jump into the water. He waited on the Lord's okay. Could it be that Peter said, I would rather be in the midst of the storm walking with the Lord than in the boat without the Lord? Are you waiting to do some great work, but you're waiting until it doesn't take faith? Are you going to witness and teach and lead and serve as soon as you're able to figure it out in your own strength? Remember rule number 2. Don't attempt the impossible in your own strength, friends. Rule number 3. This is a powerful one. No. Don't stay in the boat. Don't stay in the boat. A Christian author, Elaine Gooder, once remarked that you can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer. Drink no tea or coffee or other stimulants in the name of health. Go to bed early and stay away from nightlife. Avoid all controversial subjects so as to never give offense. Mind your own business and avoid involvement in other people's problems. Spend money only on necessities and save all you can. You can still break your neck in the hot bathtub and it'll serve you right. So don't stay in the boat. Matthew 14:29. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Peter got out of the boat. Perhaps this is the most strategic rule, friends. Listen, you know why I'm saying that? Because if you don't get out of the boat, you will never walk on water. Doing what seems to be impossible can never be a reality unless you begin to move by faith. Many haven't gotten out of the boat to serve the Lord. Many people have considered getting out of the boat, but they kept yelling, people are going to say you're a Bible puncher, you're going to be ostracized by your family and your friends, why do you want to get saved, don't do it, you're too young, and all that, right? Listen, friends, Don't be comfortable with where you are. We can't expect great things from God if we don't attempt great things for God. When Peter requested the Lord to command him to come, the Lord said, "Come." The Lord knew Peter would learn a lesson in faith by getting out of the boat. Because with great faith, nothing is impossible. Do you know the Chinese have a proverb? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Friends, getting out of the boat or getting stretched or attempting the impossible for God causes your faith to grow. Faith is similar to a muscle. A muscle will not stretch or grow until it is exercised. A muscle will not reach full strength until it is exercised. 2 Peter 3:18 instructs us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Peter put his faith in action and took the step, friends. He did what was humanly impossible. The hymn writer says, I love this, "You'll take one step toward the Savior. If you take one step towards the Savior, you'll find his arms open wide." You know that hymn? You must, friends, take that step. You must get out of your boat and answer in answer to his command. The last rule four. Don't focus on the circumstances. Don't focus on the circumstances. Matthew says in 14:30, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Friends, when Peter requested the privilege of walking on the water, he didn't let his mind or his attitude dwell on the circumstances. Circumstances are never right. There is always some reason why you should not attempt the impossible or grow your faith. There's always some reason. I don't do that. Jesus is bidding every one of us, come walk with me. And in your weakness is my strength made perfect. But only stay focused on me. Another verse that I like is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author means the pioneer of our faith, one who has gone before us. And finisher is the companion of our faith. He's with us. Friends, later, Peter looked at the waves like any of us, me too. He looked at the waves and he started to sink. He took his eyes off Jesus. Let me say, the moment you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink, friends. When he paid more attention to the winds and the waves, when he paid more attention to the circumstances, he suffered the consequences. Things turned ugly, and all of us can relate to his experience. Friends, sometimes we are reluctant to get out of the boat because we doubt. Listen, we're not saying you're a weak Christian, you're just a Christian. Perhaps Peter began second-guessing himself. Perhaps Peter said, did Jesus really call me? Is it really possible to walk on water? What if I fail? I should quit because I'm hopeless at everything. He began to doubt, as Jesus pointed out. A pastor was visiting an elderly lady in a nursing home. She gave him a copy of a little poem titled, Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. Care is pressing you down a bit. Rest if you must, but you don't quit. Life is strange with all its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver lining of the clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you are hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Friends, don't stop growing in your faith because of doubts and fear. Jesus said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. No matter what circumstances you are in, trust him. Jesus says, trust me. Many have criticized Peter, but besides the Lord, he is the only one in history who has ever walked on water. The challenge to you is this: get out of the boat. To move forward, get stretched, attempt the impossible, because Jesus is always there. He said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. In conclusion, God has prepared tremendous blessings for each one of us if we will attempt great things for him. In Ephesians 3 verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I like how the Amplified Version says it. It's not on your screen, but I wrote it down here. God is able to do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Friends, I'm sure you can do it. As you have faith in your heart, because Jesus said in our last verse, Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you must say to the mountain, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. You know why? Nothing is impossible for you. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is here and he's gracious. Jesus will allow you to be stretched. You might fail. You might sink. So what? When you fail, Jesus is there with an outstretched arm, hand, waiting to pick you up. Do not be afraid. Do not hold back, friends. Take the step of faith. Jesus says to you today, come. William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you know what we're going through. You know what we're going through. You know that we've tried doing things on our own. We fail hopelessly. You know that we looked at our circumstances and said, this is a hopeless situation. It will never work. You've seen that. You've heard us say those words. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us with faith, Lord. Not faith that we can figure out by ourselves, but faith to trust you for the impossible. Help everyone, Lord. Some are facing storms in their health. Some are facing storms in their finances. Some are facing storms in their families. Help us to trust you. There's so many storms, Lord, going on. Help us to trust you and to step out in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing a song.